Jesus man is living sin. The news that makes men free to all the lost of every nation ring it out. Amen, amen. We want to thank our brother for leading us in song and those that led at the table and as far as giving and announcements, scripture reading, all that we've done thus far. We're thankful for your, each of you once again, and especially for those that are visiting with us on this morning. We are thankful for your presence this morning, and especially if you're visiting with us for the first time, we're thankful to have you with us. If you are visiting for the very first time, could you just raise a hand just so we know who you are and where you are? Amen, amen. All right, amen. Well, good to see you. Good to have you. We have a packet of information on your way out that we'd love to be able to share with you, and we're thankful once again for you choosing us, choosing to be here with us, and we pray that our time together is fruitful. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We were in Hebrews 6 last week. I think Hebrews been on my mind. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 13 with the topic and the theme, do not quit before the finish line. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and whom he scourges every son whom he receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastens us as best to them, as it seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, open our eyes to your word. Help us to see what we need to see individually, Lord. Not our brother, not our sister, Lord. We know that this word is speaking to each of us individually. And help us, Lord, to internalize, help us to reflect, help us to recognize the power of your word in living for you. Father, we ask and pray that you might move us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1968, athletes from around the world came together in Mexico City for the Olympic Games. One of the final events was a marathon, and there were more than 26 miles of running in the city that was 7,000 feet above sea level. The thin air had already made it difficult for the race. We can attest to that. We just came back from Massanutten, Virginia, in the mountains, and breathing was a little different there. But 75 men from 41 nations were there at that starting line that day. One of them, name was John Stephen Akwari. He represented the eastern nation of Tanzania. He traveled thousands of miles to wear his country's colors and to be there and represent his country on the biggest stage ever. About halfway through the race, the runners were fighting for position. Akwari was struck and he fell hard against the pavement. He injured his knee. He dislocated his knee. He hurt his shoulder. Knee was bleeding, had to be bandaged. But at that point, nobody would have blamed him for stopping. But he continued going forward. 18 other runners that started the race did not finish. But he decided that that wasn't going to be him. The winner was Mamo Walde of Ethiopia. And he crossed the finish line in about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Medals were awarded, the sun was already going down, and most people had already left. But here comes Akwari, running, still. Stadium doors closed, hurt, exhausted, clearly in last place. But he kept moving to the finish line. Later, a reporter asked him, "Why'd you keep going? Why'd you keep running? I mean, you would have been excused, and obviously you came in dead last place." Akwari answered, he said, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish." Most of us will never run in the Olympics. Most of us may not even run in the 5K. But all of us know about starting, giving up sometimes. Hello. Starting with great enthusiasm and energy, and then somewhere along the way, quitting. Maybe we got hit with something unexpected like he did. He could have easily took that as an excuse and said, I got to stop running. You know, maybe sometimes life hits us hard. A diagnosis that we didn't even imagine. A divorce that came up that you couldn't even foresee, a loss that you you now have to carry, prayer that seems to remain unanswered after I pray and pray and pray, and different family struggles, temptations, or even a season that seems to be lasting a little too long. You know, it's one thing once again to start out the race with enthusiasm. Jesus talked about the seed that fell on different hearts, and there was one that seed fell and it sprang up quickly, but it didn't take any root. And I think in our lives, all of us can think about a situation like that we started with great enthusiasm over things, but then all of a sudden problems came. Situations happen, and it got harder and harder to continue to run. It got harder and harder to finish that degree program. It got harder and harder to continue in this job. It got harder and harder to continue in this relationship. It got harder. And maybe we said, "I quit." Well, we might be able to get over some of those other things, but the Lord here is encouraging us, and this word is encouraging us in the spiritual life that we don't have room to quit. We can't be those that quit, because quitting in this Christian race means that we're going to forego the prize, the ultimate prize of that upward calling, Christ Jesus. And so we want a desire not only to start the race, but to finish to the very end. Now, Hebrews 12 meets us right here. It comes on the heels of Hebrews 11, that hall of faith. We saw men and women that ran their race, that went and continued to live their lives with different obstacles that would come up always. And yet they persevered. They all testified of the same thing, that God is faithful. And through faith, they kept going. That's why the beginning of this verse it says, therefore. Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance. Some of y'all might say patience. That race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. Therefore, look, recognizing what others have done. And I think that's encouragement for me. We were talking about that in Bible class. Mark it in those in the class this morning. You know, there's encouragement when we look in the Bible, when we see that there are others that had struggles and had issues and weren't perfect like sometimes we pretend to be. Hello. To see the flaws of men and women and recognize that, look, this is par for the course, that this is common to our mankind, but yet God gives us the strength to even overcome those things if we're looking to Him, and we'll look at that later. But this word is real. The struggle is real. This journey is real. The seasons are real, and they really hurt. And sometimes, you know, we got good days like today. I'm having a blessed day this morning. But if you're talking to me a couple days ago, hello. You know, it's that's just how life is. That's just how life is sometimes. But the message is clear. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit before the finish line. Don't quit before the finish line. So I want to look at this first part here. He says, lay aside. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. Easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance. He says, let us lay aside a couple of things. First of all, obviously the easy one, the not the easy one to do, but the easy one for us to recognize is the sin which so easily entangles us. It's not always easy to let go of it, but it's easy for us to recognize sin. We can see sin if we're not blind. If we understand the scriptures and what the Lord likes and what He dislikes and all that, we can easily understand what sin is. See, most of us know that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay, right? And so sin promises freedom. It promises something good for us, and yet it delivers poorly, right? It delivers something exactly different. Something different. See, those hidden lusts, they damage purity. They change the way we see other people, sometimes see other people as objects rather than human beings and all that. And it can destroy relationships and marriages and all of that. And so it's important that we recognize those hidden lusts, because if that sin comes in, it can entangle us. It don't just want to play with us. Sin doesn't want to just play with you. He wants to take you over, as God was talking to Cain and Abel, or rather to Cain. He told him the sin was right there at the door, and its desire isn't just to mess us up for a season. Its desire is to overcome and overtake us, and so we've got to recognize those things: hidden lusts, dishonest shortcuts in life. We talked about that even this morning. Right? Even something as simple as stealing a pen from the job. They don't need this, right? It's about integrity. It's about ethics. It's about trying to do things according that the God would like us to do, and recognizing His likes and His dislikes and wanting to be on His side. Envy. When we look at how God has blessed somebody else, and maybe He hasn't blessed you in that same way. And how is it that we recognize and look at those things? Gossip, anger, pride, unforgiveness. Look at all of these sins that can come in. And of course, this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just not even touching the surface. But there comes a point where we have to stop blaming God. Some do. God, you just made me this way. There's a time that we have to take responsibility and look in the mirror and say, you know what, this sin is taking me over, and so I've got to quit it. I've got to kill it. I've got to stop it. I've got to reframe, you know, the things that I'm doing and relook at the Lord and get some help for these things. So laying aside means repentance. I'm turning. I want to make a change. I want to take this off of me, just like a runner would strip off anything that weighs him or her down. That's what he's telling us here. I look at bikers sometimes, and they're all shaved up, and they've got the tight tights and all that stuff, and the lightest of shoes and the lightest of gear. Why? Because they understand that if you are in a race, that even a 1 pound could be the difference, could make a difference in whether you win or whether you lose. So the writer, he says here that we ought to lay aside these sins. But then he also says that we ought to lay aside every weight as well, every weight and sin. What's weighing you down? What's weighing you down? What sins are entangling you right now? You don't have to broadcast it and share it. But I want you to think about that. Think about the areas in our lives that we need to change and transform to be more and more like Jesus Christ. The things that are occupying our mind and our time that is against God and actually pushing us further and further away from God. We talked about that on last week, that drifting and how easy it is for us to drift. And slowly but surely, by compromise after compromise after compromise, we can find ourselves away from the very presence of God. And doesn't mean we don't love him and all that, but it means that something else has come and occupied that space. And so he shares with us to lay aside these sins. And then he also says the weights, there's something different. These weights are something different. See, weights, these are things that maybe you have the freedom to do. You have the right to do this. And maybe it's not always something that's bad. It might be something that's good. But you know, good doesn't mean best. There's good, there's better, and there's best. And what God is calling us to the best, to place him in his proper place first. Everything else comes after that. And I think sometimes we have it mixed up where we take our desires and our wants and our and we say, Lord, I'll fit you in wherever you fit in. A question, because here's the thing about weight. It's not always clear. I can't always get book, chapter, and verse for weight. And so it takes some discernment. I need to take some examination as well, because what's a weight for one person isn't going to be a weight for another person. Someone else, they might be able to carry that, but we might be weak in those areas, and so we can't. And so the question isn't always, is it wrong? Sometimes the question is it right for me? Is it bettering me? Is it helpful for me? Is it helping me run the race that God has called me to run, or is it slowing me down? And if it's a weight, even though it's something good that's slowing us down and getting to heaven and doing and accomplishing God's will in our lives, then maybe those are the very things that he's calling for us to strip off and to let go and to lay aside. Maybe it's a schedule that's so full that we have time for everybody else except God. Maybe our phones and social media have occupied that space, that man, when as soon as you wake up in the morning, the very first thing is to scroll and scroll and scroll for hours. This time that God wants us to dedicate to him and to start our day thinking about God, maybe we're thinking about something else that we shouldn't be. Maybe too many commitments. The need to please, hello, everybody. A relationship, an environment, being around certain people. Once again, it may not be a bad thing, but is it the best thing? And then even looking at yesterday's successes. I remember what I used to do, how I used to be, and all of that. Maybe those are the things we're holding on to that and forgetting that God is not just the God of yesterday. He's the God of today and tomorrow and forevermore. And so letting go of some of these weights are needed. Is this helping me? I think self-examination in these weights is very important. Like I said, it's going to be completely different from one person to the next person. You know, I've spoken this before. I believe it's okay to have a beer every now and then. Y'all got quiet on me now. And we can talk about that in private and all that. But everybody shouldn't have a beer every now and then. Do you understand what I'm saying? There might be some that go, man, it's a hot day and all that, and then they know how to let that aside afterward. And there's some that go, man, I had that taste in my mouth, and I can't get it out now. And one leads to two, and two leads to three, and three leads to four, and four leads to five, and right? And so that's what I'm saying, being honest with ourselves and really looking, because I might have the freedom to do it. Maybe there's not, I have the freedom to do it, but it may not be a good thing for me to do even for one. But you got to take some real good self-examination. What keeps tripping us up? What keeps tripping us up? What keeps weighing us down? And that's what the writer's telling us, that if we're going to go to the very end, we've got the best person you need to know is yourself. And the person that you need to be most honest with is yourself. I mean, of course, God and all that. But after that, yourself. I'll speak for myself. There's sometimes I go into a facade. I've got to block God out in order to do what I want to do. Is there anybody else like that in here? Right. It, sin really is a time where I got to close my eyes and to God and look. I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do, Lord. And then He beats us up. Amen. He beats us up afterward and beats us up and says, "Did you forget to look at me? Did you forget to include me in this plan? Did you forget to think about, you know, my likes and how it's going to help or hurt or hinder our relationship and all that?" And so I think that's why this naturally goes into, well, looking somewhere. Because in our own flesh, sometimes we can be deceived. We're good liars to ourselves. Great liars even to ourselves. He says, the writer says, let run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, I want you to know that everybody's race is different, right? And like I said, because there's different struggles that you have, because there's a different race that's set before each of us. I mean, the destination, our destination is the same. Our desired destination, rather, is the same. But the race that's set before you is different than the race that's set before me. And so that's also a challenge as well. But here's the thing: we're not trying to outrun each other either, right? I got to recognize this is my race, and I'm running. I remember, I think it was Tiger Woods that said, "You know, my competition is me," and I fully agree with that. Wow. I'm not running against everybody else. I'm not fighting. If I could be the best version of me, the best version of the man that God created, the best version that the woman of God that God created you to be, then that is enough. That is enough. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us looking to the left and looking to the right and I got to be like the Reyeses, or I got to be like Mark, and I got to have this, and I got to be like that, and I got to be like, no. We're individuals running this race, and even though we're there encouraging one another, our competition is right there, that man in the mirror. And he tells us to run with perseverance. Perseverance is not just an emotional thing. Patience is not just something that just a burst of energy that you just get just at that moment and then everything else fizzles away. No, this is a long distance run. And so it takes you having a mindset that is long distance. He says, as you're doing that, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, in long distance runners, sometimes they have someone that's called a pace setter. A pace setter knows the rhythm that you need for the race. The pace setter goes out there and sets the pace for the runner. Make sure he's not running too fast. Make sure that they're not burning up all their energy early on. Make sure that they don't drift off course and all that, or give up when the race becomes difficult. And Jesus, in a sense, is becoming that pace setter for us. He's already gone forth. He's already endured. He's already given, you know, completely to and was dead, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. He already led the way, even through death. He's our pace setter. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He already completed the course. And so I think it's good that when you see that somebody else has already done it, that gives us some strength. We talked about that this morning too, right? When you can see that someone else has overcome, when you can see that someone else has gone through challenges and all that, that gives you hope in your current circumstance. Because if they can do it, so can I. Jesus shows us the rhythm of trust and obedience. When we're tempted to move ahead of God, Jesus teaches us to trust in the Father's timing. We see him and we can feel him and understand him in Gethsemane, and yet he trusted the Father's timing. When obedience became costly, Jesus shows us to obey even when it hurts. When people misunderstand us, Jesus shows us how to remain faithful even without becoming bitter. And when we become tired, when we get tired, Jesus reminds us that suffering is not the end of the story. That maybe there's something even in that the Lord is trying to prepare us for, to try to teach us even through it all. Because the text says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus didn't call the cross pleasant. It wasn't. He didn't pretend like, oh, this is just a good vacation. No, the nails hurt. The crown of thorns hurt. The betrayal hurt. The suffering that he had to endure, the scourging that he had even before he was placed on that cross, all of that hurt. He didn't deny it. He didn't deny the hurt. He didn't deny the shame either, the rejection or the suffering. He looked beyond it and saw beyond the cross the blessings that you and I would be able to receive as a result of what he did at that cross and what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so when it tells us here, it says, consider him. He already ran the race. He already went before. He was already despised. He was already rejected of men. He was already, you know, afflicted with pain and all. He did all of that. Went to a cross, died, buried, and rose for us. And so when we're tired, consider him. When you feel weak, consider him. When you think you can't, consider him. When you feel like you're about to give up, remember him in Gethsemane. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Right? You see his humanity bleeding through. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When we get to our breaking point, we can look to him. Consider Jesus. Now, I want you to look at verse 4. It says, yet you have not resisted to blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which reasons with you as my children. My son, don't take lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Some of you have heard the story before. There was a man in high school. I started taking, I think I was a freshman year, John Dixon High School. Ron Bird, sister Gwendolyn Bird's son. We went to high school together. He was a senior, either junior or senior, when I was a freshman. And we were in the same class for weightlifting. And in the weightlifting class, first of all, if you knew Ron then, I don't know what he looked like now, but he looked like muscles popping out everywhere. Like, you wouldn't want to mess with this guy, all right? And here I was, this little scrawny freshman, and I don't know why he took an interest in me, but he took an interest in me, like, we're going to build you up, bro. So putting me on the bench. And there were many times I'm on there, and he's putting weight on there, and he's pushing, and I'm pushing. And then he's putting a little bit more weight on there, and then he's getting me pushing again. And then I remember one day he goes, we're going to put the two plates on each side, 225s. I said, no, we can't do that. You know, like, I'm not ready for that yet. And no, we're going to do this. And that's exactly what we did. And I remember getting to that point, I'm pushing it up, and then I got it. Give me another. What? Another? And then it came a time, I couldn't push no more. Here he was with two fingers. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And we got it. Oh, the story's not over. Give me some more tens. What? Oh, hold up. Didn't you just see me struggling, like, with all my might trying to get this up? What are you talking about, put two tens on the side and all that as well? No, no. Guess what? When Ron says something, all right, man, we're gonna do it, right? And sure enough, again, I'm not saying I did it cleanly, but I did it. And by the time we got out of that class, I remember I was putting up over 250 pounds in bench, and then on legs, the whole rack. There wasn't a weight on it I couldn't do. Was able to do the whole rack. Now, he was there. I couldn't have done it without him. And I want you to kind of think of the Lord there, back there spotting for us right now. There are times that he gets heavy in this life. And we're crying to God, don't you see how heavy it is, Lord? And still you're giving me more. I can't take this anymore, Lord. I'm ready to give up already. I can't anymore. Put 10 more on. Put 5 more on. Put 5 more on. And I want you to see this about the Lord. The Lord isn't doing this in order to hurt us. Just like Ron wasn't doing it in order to hurt us. He had an end game in mind. He understood what it took. Guess what? He had to go through it himself. He endured and gave me a visual that I could be able to endure as well. I don't know who Ron's bird was, but he had someone that was spotting for him and giving him the same exact thing as well. And I want you to look at that as well, because that's how God treats us as well as sons. He's trying to develop us. He's trying to make something out of us. And if you understand this phrase, no pain, no gain. You want them gains? You're going to have to go through the struggle. You're going to have to get weights that you never thought you'd be able to put up. And if you want to get even bigger and stronger, guess what? More weights, put some more on, give me some more 10s, give me some 20s. You're going to have to do more in order to grow more. God is developing us. And if we see this as development, he's not trying to kill us. He's trying to help us. It points back and it says that what type of father doesn't discipline their child? Now, good discipline, I need you to understand this. As a matter of fact, I need to bring a lesson about this real soon. Good discipline isn't punishment. Discipline is not intended just for pain's sake. Now, it should be painful, all right? And pain doesn't always mean physical pain either. Hello. Nowadays, you take the phone from that child, woo! You get a lot more. You get a lot more than any type of physical. But the point is, I'm not paying you back because you did something wrong. I have the goal in mind that this discipline is intended for, in order to move you closer to that goal. Rather, you know, it's not just, man, I'm so mad at you. No, where's the teaching in that? Where's the love in that? Where's the instruction in that? What's the goal of that? There's no goal in that. That made you feel better. But as a child, as a father, as a mother, we're doing things because there's an intent. We're trying to move our children to a certain area. Well, that's what God's doing for us. He's not saying, I'm gonna get Domingo today. I saw what he did. I'm gonna get him just because. Just no, it's not a just because, right? No, God has, even in his discipline, he's lovingly disciplining us. And guess what? He's right there, spotting us, right? He understands that we need to be made stronger, and he's trying to develop us more and more, and he's in the mix of this development. And so as we're considering Jesus, we consider the fact that also even so the hardships that we go through, maybe the refining moments of our lives, the things that God is trying to do in order to capture our attention back to him, to look back at ourselves once again, to be able to look into the mirror, to recognize that, you know, because I don't know about you, but when life starts lifing and you start feeling the heat, we ought to start looking and asking some questions. Why? And that's an opportunity for us to once again examine and say, you know, what, are there sins that are doing this? Are there weights that are carrying me down and holding me back from the potential what God has me to be? And this is then our opportunity as we take that introspection to then go ahead and start doing something different. He says, don't take lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're proved by him. He's trying to train us. And so maybe there's some questions we need to ask the Lord. Lord, what are you trying to show me in this moment? What are you trying to show me? Is there something I need to confess right now, Lord? Is there something I need to confess? Is there something I need to change? Are there some people, places, and things that I need to say no to? And even once again, even if they're good people, places, and things, they might not be the best people, places, and things. And so, Lord, is there a decision I need to make? Even if it's a hard decision, Lord, help me. Lord, are you teaching me something through this? Maybe the lesson is just to trust him more. Rather than our self-reliance, rather than thinking that, you know, man, I can fix every situation in my life, there's some points that where we're going to come to the fact that there are some things that we need God's grace and mercy. Thy grace, his grace, is sufficient for us. When life is hard, God might just be shaping, and he's that spotter that's staying close to us. And then, I want you to see verse 12 and 13. Therefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I want you to see that word therefore again. It's a connector. These thoughts and ideas that were already previously said. Because Jesus endured, because God is training us as his children, because the pain can produce, this pain is productive. God is trying to do something through the pain. Because of understanding and recognizing all that, therefore lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. In running, you get to that point. I told you before, I was a wrestler. I ran and went to track and long distance only to get in shape for wrestling. I hated running. But I decided, all right, I'm going out for the long distance team. And we were in cross country. That's what it was, cross country. I knew I was missing the word. Cross country. I'd be out in them woods. First of all, my intent was never to win. I'm going to just tell you that straight up. My intent was never to win. My intent was to get in shape for wrestling season. So that meant, I think that's a really important part. The fact I wasn't even trying to win, obviously I'm not going to win and all that, but my whole mindset was completely different than the others that were running the race. And so I'm just trying to get in shape. And so when people came, I'm like, when no one was there, I'm walking. When I started hearing some footsteps, I'm picking it up like I've been running all along, right? Now I'm an athlete. I was an athlete, so I still did well in a lot of races just by pure genetics. But I wasn't trying to win. And I'm saying this for a reason. In this Christian race, we have to be those that are looking toward that end goal, that are trying to win. You're not going to accidentally stumble into heaven. Hello. You're not going to, by your own strength, just be able, your good genetics and all that, to be able to run this race and get to the very end. No, no. This race that's set before us has a lot of obstacles. This is more than a cross-country race. Hurdles. This is hurdles. Obstacles all along the way. And yet we've got to figure out, and then sometimes we're going to fall down. You know, if you, anyone ever ran hurdles? Right. All right. We got a couple. And have you ever fallen over a hurdle? Huh? You can't remember? Okay. Okay. All right. Well, maybe you were in real slow ones, like really careful over those to make sure. Now, I was on track, so I saw the hurdlers. I wasn't a hurdler. But I saw them, and almost every, even the state champions, I saw them hit over a hurdle, knock one over, and sometimes even wipe out themselves, and get up. That's us. That's where God wants us. Life is going to have its hurdles. It's going to have its challenges. It's going to have its problems. It's going to have moments that we are falling down, and all I can do is look but up. But look up. Consider him. Look to Jesus. When you start getting weak, look at your pace setter. Go back to looking at Jesus and what he had to endure in order to accomplish what he accomplished. Well, if we're going to make it to heaven, we're going to have to go through some stuff down here. We're going to have those internal challenges and battles that we're going through. We're going to have external things that happen in our lives. It's par for the course. But keep running. If we're going to make it, we look at back at Hebrews chapter 11, and you see all of those who endured so many things. You know what? Go old school, back to the book. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to start at verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't even have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery darts of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others that were tortured. Every story didn't end nicely. Others were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had been planning something even better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the weight and sins that so easily entangle us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, life is challenging. I never want to, we talked about being real this morning. I never want to pretend like it's, you know, God's just going to fix everything and make everything perfect. Man, sometimes we're going to be weighed down. Put 10 more on, and we think, I'm doing this by myself, Lord. I'm doing it. I can't anymore. Come on. You got this. And as a result, I'm a little bit stronger. I'm a little bit better. I'm not going to pretend everyone's story is going to have a happy ending. We just read everyone's story is not a happy ending on this side of life. But that's why he points us beyond what's here. They may not have received the promise. They were foregoing and preparing the way for us. This new covenant that was coming, many of them had no idea what they were doing and what they were accomplishing and all that. And even the Hebrew writer is pointing back to so many of the different things, that shadows that are now realities. But they didn't understand it when they were going through it. Noah couldn't understand the implications. Abraham couldn't understand all the implications and all that, but they operated by faith. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time, Lord, help us. Maybe we need to get back. Lord, you're trying to teach us something. You're trying to take us somewhere, Lord. You're trying to make our path straight. You're trying to prepare us, Lord. Maybe it's getting back to him in prayer. I'm praying the same prayers. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep believing. Getting back in that word again. Instead of the morning when the first thing we're looking at is what Fox said or what CNN said or what MSNBC said, maybe the first thing we need, what does the Lord say? Instead of scrolling through Facebook and then seeing what everyone else's problems are and what's going on and who killed who and who did what and all that, you know, getting back in that word and letting it feed us. And we should know what's going on in times and all that, but let not that consume us. And if it is, maybe that's the time to start having that reflection we were talking about, and letting go of the things that are easily entangling us, changing our view of people and hurting relationships. And then, of course, getting back in worship. You know, I noticed that some people, when times get heavy, they run. They run from the church. They run from help. They run from people that love them. They run and close themselves off and all that. And yet, there's strength in here. Have you been strengthened even as we've been talking this morning? Amen. Amen. I have as well. Amen. And so worship is important. It's important as we come together that we provoke one another to love and to good works, that we're looking at how to be able to be there and carry one another's burdens and share with one another. And then maybe it's time to ask for some help. Lord, I've been struggling with this for so long. I've been dealing with this for so long. This burden is so deep. The wounds run so deep. Lord, help me. Maybe there's someone here, a trusted brother, a trusted sister, a confidant, someone that you can share with and talk to that can help you through that. The key is we're running a long race. We're trying to make heaven our home. All of us can have our hands raised. We can each hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We're not running in competition with one another. Your competition, my competition is me. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask that you would bless us this lay. Lord, help us. Your word is clear, but sometimes it's not clear in as we apply it to our lives. Help us to make it plain. Help us to be real with ourselves. Help us to look in the mirror. Help us to make the self-assessments, Lord, that are according to your word. Help us to let go of the things we need to let go of. Prioritize and reorganize our lives, recognizing that after it's all said and done, Lord, ultimately, we want your approval. We don't need man's approval, Lord. We want your approval. We want you to welcome us in. We want to hear our name called out of the book of life. And in order to get there, Lord, we've got to go through this thing called life. The challenges that we face here on this life. But Lord, we recognize that you're not leaving us alone, that we're not alone in this. You're here with us. You're our pace setter. You're our spotter when things get weak. You're our developer. You understand. You're our architect of our lives. You understand the end, even while we're at the beginning or sometimes in the middle of this life. But you already foresee and know the end, Lord. Help us to follow you. Help us to look to you. Help us to gain encouragement that we might be able to make the changes, to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily entangle us, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus as our great example, as our brother, as our Lord, as our Savior. Lord, help us as his servants, Lord, to do the things that we see in him, to consider Jesus in all areas of our life, and to desire to live in accordance to your will. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you know that you need to take that step. You need to take this step. You need to begin the race. See, you can't win the race until you begin the race. You can't hear that those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," until you have submitted yourself to the King. And so this is your opportunity this morning. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose on the third day, he comes to do his part, and then to give us this great opportunity for us to also be united with him. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, as he was preaching the gospel message, there were some people that heard that message and they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They recognized there was something they had to do. Jesus had done his part. God has done his part. And now he's moving us to desire, for us to desire repentance and that change. And so Peter tells them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Maybe you're ready for that start. Maybe you're ready for that cleansing. Maybe you're ready for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that now dwells in you as his child. If you're ready to do that today, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? Come to Jesus.